Good morning. As I look out, I think I should say welcome to Penguin Hangover Sunday. So we're missing a lot of people, and I think the Penguins played late last night, and unfortunately they lost. So, few announcements, and you can take your red pad, sign it, pass it down. And if you'd like to get a message to me, you can sign an I Wish card and drop it in the offering plate. Today is Communion Sunday, so I've written a shorter sermon. I had it real long and forgot it was Communion Sunday and had to pare it down, took out a lot of things, and I don't have any jokes this morning, so it's going to be a little different for me. But remind you that everyone that is here can receive communion. You do not have to be a Presbyterian. You do not have to be a member of our church. We just ask that you are a believer, and any children, that will be left up to the parents. And the nursery is open, as it is every Sunday, with a paging system. And the library is available with a speaker right through here. So if anyone has a child or you start coughing or something, need to step out, you can go in there and still hear the service. The Women of the Church Association will be meeting after church for a few minutes in the library right through these doors. The deacons are having a summer fellowship in McFadden Hall next door after worship next Sunday. Hot dogs and side dishes will be served. VBS will be coming up in July 15th through the 19th, 6:30 to 8:30 in the evening. If you're interested in helping, you can contact Kathy Segi or B.J. Morrison, and both here today. The Permans, you can read about their invitation inviting you to Jeff's graduation party. Several parties that day. I'm going to be in three places that day, so coming all about the same time also. So we thank you for that, and the deacons have asked for this. They're looking for June for boxed pasta and boxed meals, and thank you for supporting their Spring into Cleaning May challenge. They ended up with 60 pounds of cleaning supplies and over 20 pounds of food, so we thank everyone for participating in that, and so God bless you for it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening hymn of praise this morning, number 12, Holy God, we praise thy name.
Thank you.
worship to continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for caring about each of us. We praise you for the love we are given through Jesus. Forgive us when we are not a loving and caring people. Help us to truly care for others. Help us to understand that there is power in the nature of our character. May we learn to place our confidence in Christ as Lord and Savior. Teach us to be humble. Remind us to pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Join this morning with other churches around our community and the world as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
God the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. If you're not sure of someone's name, please ask them.
No.
beautiful. Our responsive reading, A Contemporary Affirmation of Faith, 718 in the back of your hymnals. 718, A Contemporary Affirmation of Faith. We believe in Jesus Christ the Lord, who was promised to the people of Israel, who came in the flesh to dwell among us, who announced the coming of the rule of God, who gathered disciples and taught them, who died on the cross to free us from sin, who rose from the dead to give us life and hope, who reigns in heaven at the right hand of God, who comes to judge and bring justice to victory. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who is the form of God present in the church, who moves men and women to faith and obedience, who is the guarantee of our deliverance, who leads us to find God's will in the Word, who assists those whom He renews in prayer, who guides us in discernment, who impels us to act together.
We believe God has made us
This time I invite the elder on the door for the prayer requests, praise.
Good morning. We have several prayers this morning that are being requested. One is for Mary Lou Henrietto. This is my sister's mother-in-law and Nathaniel's grandmother. She had heart surgery this week, and they removed a benign tumor, but she's still in the ICU because they need to regulate her blood pressure. We have one for a person that we don't know, Paul Oberkircher. He's a four-year-old, and he's undergoing treatment for a cancerous tumor on his liver. He's Ruthie Mole's neighbor's great-grandson. We have one for Mary Lynn Leo, who is a friend and is in the hospital and very, very ill. For Nancy Baker's sister, Janet, who's having surgery on June the 6th. And for Doug Mellinger, who is a cousin of Kathy Sagi, who went to the emergency room with kidney stones, and they're hoping that they will pass on their own without surgery. I would also like to request a prayer for a friend of mine, Kelly, who's, excuse me, undergoing cancer issues, and for all those victims in the Oklahoma flooding again. Thank you.
Thank you, Clara. Let's also remember the persons listed on the back of the bulletin. I want to thank the ladies for the luncheon on Friday. For Gladys Hurst, the service was here in the sanctuary, and then the ladies had a luncheon for the Hurst family, Rom Hurst, his wife Gladys, who passed away after struggling for many years with Parkinson's disease. And Steve Hurst's mother and Brittany Hurst's mother-in-law. Isabel Mellinger is still at St. Margaret's Hospital after having her gallbladder removed. She's having a rather rough time, so let's continue to keep her in our prayers. And Marie's doing well at Rebecca Residence through her therapy, and all the other persons, let's keep in our prayers. Let's remember all the graduates from high school and college from our congregation and all over our community. And as we go to the Lord in prayer, in the Lord's Prayer, we say debts and debtors instead of trespasses. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this day thanking you for being who you are, for loving us enough to send your only Son into the world to give himself that we might have eternal life and salvation. And we might even have a better life here upon this earth. That doesn't mean everything is going to be perfect and just like we want it, because life often is a struggle. Sometimes things go very well for us. Sometimes it seems like we're in the depths of despair. But you are always there to help us, to guide us. Remind us to get into the Bible and other books and devotionals that lift us. Remind us to be in prayer at home and to be in a prayerful spirit at all times. So many prayer requests have been presented to you today. We know all over the world people are praying to you, but we know you can handle them. You're a mighty and a wonderful God. Thank you for that. And thank you that we can come straight to you in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior. So many instances, so many different circumstances that are going on in our personal lives, the life of our church, the life of our state, and then the tragedies that are happening in the Midwest and then around the world. We thank you that you keep your eye on things. We don't claim to understand why everything happens, but we do claim to hold on in our faith to you with a sense of love. Thank you for giving us the church a sense of compassion and caring for one another with dignity, that we can not just wait for you to send a miracle or to minister, but that we can minister to one another through kind words, through a meal, through a telephone call, a card, whatever we can do to help someone. Let us be Christian in our spirit. Lord, thank you for touching our lives and the lives of our friends and our family. Thank you for the messages that you brought when you walked upon this earth. And thank you for this wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn, Hymn of Preparation, You Are the Healing. It is our screen song for this morning.
Thank you.
Let's bow for prayer of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ, what it means for the world and what it means for each of us, redemption, salvation, the abundant life here upon this earth. Thank you for touching us and healing us. Thank you for helping us through the troubles in this life. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to be a part of your kingdom and a part of a church and a church family. And thank you that the Heavenly Spirit has brought gifts for us to use. Not for our own self, not that people can point and say, look at him or her and how good and how wonderful and all that they do, but so we can point others to Jesus Christ, that they can find salvation and the peace that passes all understanding. Lord, I pray that you bless this congregation in everything that we attempt to do. Guide us and lead us for your glory. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our friend. Amen. Well, I didn't realize Bill was going to be here today, or I would have sent him the scripture to read. This is about a centurion, but I entitled it on the front, I think, an officer's faith or a soldier's faith. I'm not sure which is out front. But this is an officer who is above and over 100 people in his brigade, regiment. I'm not sure of the terminology there, excuse me. 100 soldiers in Israel, and where the story takes place. So listen this morning for God's word to you. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. I believe that God always blesses the reading and the hearing of his holy word. There are very few episodes or stories within Scripture that reveal every participant at his best, but our lesson for the day is one of them. You go back and you read about Moses and what he did, or David. They all had their problems, all did horrible things. But Jesus has just finished teaching and he enters the town of Capernaum. He is tired. He has just finished giving the Sermon on the Mount. Perhaps he's coming to Capernaum for refreshment, for some relaxation, to kick back a little while and gather his thoughts and pray to his Heavenly Father and get his batteries recharged. But there was a delegation there to meet him. It was a group of Jewish elders. They had a request for him. So often New Testament spotlights conflicts between Jesus and the religious establishment. But in this story, even the Jewish elders are cast in a positive light. They're not out to get him. They're not out to trick him here. The elders had come to Jesus concerning a Roman centurion or soldier or officer in their town, a man who is respected by all of them. The centurion had a servant for whom he had great affection, and the servant was suffering a painful affliction and was near death. And the centurion asked for Jesus to come and heal his servant. He had heard about him and the miracles and the healings that Jesus was capable of. For the moment, Jesus forgot all about his fatigue. Some soul was in distress and needed attention. He went with the elders, and they were nearing the centurion's house when the centurion sent Jesus, or sent his friends out to them with an amazing message. The message the centurion sent out went like this: "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to even come to you. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed." The word is so powerful. Remember, God spoke the world into existence. Luke tells us that when Jesus heard this message from the centurion, he was amazed at the centurion's faith. There are only two times in the New Testament when Jesus was said to have been amazed. The first time was when he began public ministry in his hometown of Nazareth. Do you remember what happened there? Jesus was rejected by those who knew him best. The Gospel of Mark tells us that Christ was amazed by their lack of faith. The second time the word amaze is used in this encounter with the Roman centurion. This time Jesus is amazed not by their lack of faith, but by how genuine this Gentile's faith was. So Jesus turned to those who were with him and said, "I tell you, I have not found such greater faith, not even in Israel." Because remember, he's talking about a Gentile outside of the Jewish religion, and they considered no one really saved. They are the chosen people. No one else really knows their God. Evidently, that faith had an impact. Luke tells us that when those who had been sent by the centurion returned to the house, they found the servant well. In other words, he had been healed. What happens in this story that made it possible for the centurion's servant to be made well? Of course, this healing occurred because Jesus willed it and spoke it to happen, but there's more than that. I think there are three elements in this story that are always helpful in the healing process, whether it's personal healing or healing of family problems or healing of a society. The first is the power of true, real caring. When people truly care, there's healing. Where people care, the possibility of miracles are there. We see the centurion's love for his servant. Probably the servant had been a trusted member of the centurion's household for many years. Actually, servant is too nice of a term. It's one of the first Greek words that I really learned in seminary, doulos, which some people translate, and they've translated here, servant, but the literal translation is slave. Slave. The man about whom the centurion cared so much was literally a slave. Now, Dr. Leith Anderson notes that in Roman times, slavery could have often been quite cruel, and we can understand that. Under Roman law, slaves were considered to be property, giving the owner complete rights to do whatever he wanted to do to that slave without any legal jeopardy whatsoever. If he wanted to kill a slave, he could do so without any repercussions. That centurion so highly valued his slave and wanted to take the best care of him in his sickness is a most unusual expression of kindness, because a lot of them would just, when a slave or a servant was sick, just put them out of the household to go fend for themselves. No social systems like in our society today to help them. And this does not in any way condone slavery, in any way, shape, or form. But it does show that this man is comparatively good light in an otherwise evil system. This was a system he grew up in and he knew. Just as important, someone had cared enough about the centurion to tell him about Jesus. Otherwise, he wouldn't have known where to turn in this time of need. And think about that. How fortunate we would be if more people were open to talking, simply talking about Jesus. Not preaching about Jesus, just simply talking about Jesus. Have you ever thought of how powerful a word is spoken at just the right time? It is said that some of the alpine slopes at certain times of the year, guides forbid those that they're taking to speak a single word. They fear that the mere tremor of a human voice will cause an avalanche and the snow will come tumbling down. But the human voice can be powerful in other ways. It can bring healing to broken hearts and help those who are in despair. A simple word of kindness. It was a mere human voice that sent the centurion to the source of healing for his servant. Someone cared enough about the slave or the servant to tell the centurion, the master, about Jesus and his healing and what he could do. The centurion in turn cared enough about his servant to call in the Jewish elders and ask them to bring Jesus to him. In some ways, the Jewish elders cared enough about the centurion to overcome any prejudices they might have about a Roman who was there occupying their land. They cared enough to swallow their pride and to go to Jesus, someone who's kind of outside of their religion, the way it is established. And of course, Jesus cared enough to go with them to heal the servant. There's healing in knowing that somebody is praying for you, looking in on you, telling others about you that you need prayer, giving that sense of compassion. And that is exactly what a church ought to be, a caring community of persons seeking to lift one another up, joining in with their burdens, doing our best to help one another. We see the power of caring. We also see the power of character. Where there are people of character, miracles can happen. We're not told of the servant's character, but can we assume that it was of the highest order? How could a servant win the esteem of his master if the servant has not proven himself to the master to be trustworthy of his position and over the master's property to take care of it? We do know the centurion's character. He was sent by Rome to command a garrison of soldiers at Capernaum. It's not easy to mix soldiers with an oppressed society, but somehow the centurion had carried out his orders in such a way that he had gained the respect of the Jewish religious leaders. They report to Jesus about the centurion, "He is worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation, and he has built a synagogue," or a temple, a place for us to worship. So we know he's a generous man, a charitable man. We know that he was concerned about the well-being of the people for whom he ruled and the servants in his own household. The centurion was a man of character. Wherever such character exists, there is healing. Part of the centurion's character was his sense of humility. "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. I don't even deserve for you to come and care about me or my servant. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to even come to you." How easy it is for some people that are in authority and have positions of power, and that we might even show good virtue and be basically good people, once they get that power, to allow that power to start corrupting them and start putting themselves into more of a higher position and esteem themselves more worthy than they are. We see it happen all the time. But not this soldier, not this officer, not this centurion. He was a good man in every sense of the word, and Jesus undoubtedly loved him for it. In James 5:6, it says, "The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." There is healing when there is people in such character. So we have two elements, caring and character. The third element here is confidence in Christ. Where people have confidence in Christ, miracles can take place. That is another term for faith. The centurion was so confident that Jesus could heal his servant that he had his messenger say, "Do not trouble yourself to come under my roof, but say the word and let my servant be healed." Just say the word. He had that much faith. You don't even have to come. You don't have to see him. You don't even have to really know where I live. Just speak the word, and I know that he will be healed. What faith? Just a word from the master would be sufficient. That was the centurion's faith. There's power in that kind of confidence. You can move mountains if you have that kind of faith. Clarence Forsberg tells about a mother with 5 children years ago who became so desperate because of her bad health and bad financial situation. And she decided that life just wasn't worth the struggle anymore, and she would do something about it. She carefully took towels and paper and covered up all the holes around the windows and the doors. She went into the kitchen with a gas stove and cut it on, but with no flame, so just the gas would come on. She went into the bedroom and she got a little daughter and laid down on the bed and put her arms around her little girl. And she laid there waiting to die and taking her daughter with her. She heard in the background the radio playing. For some reason that bothered her, and she got up to go turn the radio off. She didn't want to hear it. And when she got into the room, she could hear it playing. An old gospel hymn. "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." In that instant, she realized the mistake that she was making. She realized the resources of the faith that she had within her. And she rushed back into the bedroom, turned off the gas, opened up all the windows, and grabbed her daughter. And she said, "I began to pray. I did not pray for help. I did not pray for healing. I did not pray for financial blessings. I prayed a prayer of gratitude for God for the blessings that I already had in my life. I thanked him for the 5 wonderful children that I had. And I promised him that I would never, ever again forget my faith." Then she added as an afterthought, "And so far, I have kept that promise to God." The Roman centurion is a very beautiful story when we really take a look at it, featuring a caring community. Character and humility and confidence in what Jesus can do for us if we ask and we remember to pray. When you have those 3 elements all in place, caring, character, and confidence in Christ, I believe miracles can take place. A body can be healed. A family can be made whole again. A community can come together. Maybe even the world can be healed. No wonder the centurion's servant was healed. With such faith at work, and if we can have that faith, my friends, we can do anything. May God bless you. Amen. Our communion hymn, 274, verses 1 and 2. I just want to remind you that everyone here is welcome to receive communion in the Lord's Supper. We just ask that you are a believer. You do not have to be Presbyterian. You do not have to be a member of this church. And for any youth, we leave that up to the parents whether or not you receive communion. And we ask that you hold the elements, that we take those together in a sense of unity. Let us bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made, and we are seeking to rejoice within it, rejoiceful and full of gratitude for what you have done for us. You have given us the gift of salvation, something we could not earn. We could not work for it. We cannot buy it. It is simply a gift that you have given us. We simply have to receive it and hold on to it. Thank you for that, Lord. And we take time in our worship every Sunday to confess our sins, because we know that even after becoming Christians, we still are not perfect, and we do sin. But help us as we mature and receive communion and try to draw closer to you through fellowship and study and worship and prayer, to keep moving beyond those sins, to become better men and women, boys and girls, to be the best people we can be, to be the best church here at Glenshaw Valley that we can be. Thank you again, Lord, for touching our lives, for helping us find a sense of peace in a troubled world. Thank you for calling us out of the world into a relationship with you. In the precious name of Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. On the day our Lord and Savior was betrayed, he took the bread and he blessed it and broke it. So this is my body which has been given for you. As often as you eat it, do so in remembrance of me. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Let us, with a sense of unity and respect, remember the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the same day that our Lord and Savior is betrayed, he took the cup of the New Testament, pouring it, saying, this is my blood which has been shed for the remission of the sins of the many. As often as you drink it, do so in remembrance of me. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Paul wrote in Romans, you confess with your heart and believe in if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus has risen from the dead, you shall be saved. Let us remember the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus. A closing hymn, 343, Be Still and Know.
Thank you.
As you prepare to leave this sanctuary today, go thinking about healing and caring and character and faith in Christ. Go speaking kind words to people. Help them healed, and through it, you can be healed also. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.